Happy holidays from all of us at Cincinnati Edition here on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell, and this morning, and especially this time of year, when all that holiday baking, those cookies and cakes and goodies showing up in the break rooms at work, they can really cause a challenge for some folks who are gluten intolerant, if not suffering from celiac disease. Well, now there is a solution to enjoy all those traditional treats. It's a cookbook by Jean Sauvage called Gluten-Free Baking for the Holidays, 60 Recipes for Traditional Festive Treats. And Jean's on the phone with me this morning to talk about baking for the holidays gluten-free. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning.
Well, I have to begin by asking for a little education of why folks need to go gluten-free, why people suffer from gluten intolerance, and what does that what kind of discomfort does that cause sufferers?
Well, gluten is a protein that is found in wheat, rye, and barley, and that includes any form of wheat. So that includes kamut, spelt, farro, durum, emmer, einkorn, and so you can't eat a speck of any of those grains. And what it does is it, to be honest with you, gluten intolerance, the symptoms are varied. And very common symptoms are digestive distress, bloating and stomach ache and diarrhea. But it can be all sorts of other things. The common symptoms can be brain fog, where people kind of feel a little fuzzy. It can be an overall body ache, it can be a backache, it can be all sorts of other symptoms. And part of the problem is that gluten intolerance can take several forms. And so there's celiac, which is an autoimmune disorder, and that's where your body starts attacking itself when you eat gluten. And then there's non-celiac gluten intolerance, which they're not quite clear what the mechanism is. And then there are things like gluten sensitivities, where you're not reacting that badly, but you just don't feel that great when you eat it. And then there are things like wheat allergies. So there's a whole host of things that can happen when you eat gluten if you're someone who doesn't react well to gluten.
And the really visibility of gluten intolerance has really risen, mainly due to the fact that so many people suffer from gluten intolerance.
True. I think also the doctors have started being aware that this isn't as rare as they used to think it was. When I was diagnosed, I think the thought was it was so rare that they just didn't even bother looking for it. So I spent an entire lifetime feeling kind of funny. I just didn't feel so great. And then the birth of my daughter actually triggered my full-blown gluten intolerance. And it turns out that that's very common. Some sort of trauma to the body can do that. And that's when my doctor, who actually was very wise, said, hey, wait a minute, this actually may be gluten. And she had me tested, which was terrific, because immediately I could figure out what the problem was, and I could just solve it by avoiding gluten.
And that was a bit of a problem for you. A lifelong baker, as you say in the introduction, where you started out as a young child loving to be in the kitchen and baking, and all of a sudden here you're diagnosed as gluten intolerant, and, well, you've had a little bit of your life taken away.
I did. It was really, I mean, other than feeling good physically, all of a sudden emotionally, I was thrown into something of a tailspin, because I was told, or I thought I was told, that I could no longer engage in my passion, which is baking. And so I, for about a year, I had a mourning period where I just felt quite sorry for myself. And I think that's pretty common. Many people who are diagnosed with gluten intolerance are basically told don't eat gluten, and then they're sent away and they have to kind of
yes.
figure it out. But for me, what I did is I eventually kind of got it together, and I thought, well, I can't give up baking, so I'm going to figure out how to do this. And I did. So I spent the next 12 years figuring out how to bake, and also how to bake well, not just plain old bake.
Oh, and yes, indeed, with these recipes here, you hit all the holiday favorites in your cookbook, Gluten-Free Baking for the Holidays, because you begin with, of course, the cookies, and you cover about every specialized Christmas cookie I know.
I tried. What I did is I chose from my own family history, you know, our traditional recipes, and then I asked friends, and then I asked other family members, and I asked my readers. I did several polls with my readers. I did research to make sure that I hit all the favorites that are mostly, you know, in the United States and also the UK, I think. I just tried to put everything in there that people would want from a baking book that was centered on the winter holidays.
Oh, speculoos and spring release, oh, rugelach and the fortune cookies even, all gluten-free. And a lot of these recipes are based on a flour you developed, your Jean's secret, not so secret, gluten-free all-purpose flour.
It's not so secret. Yeah, it's in my book and it's also on my website. But yes, I developed a flour mix. The thing about the flour mix that people ask about is why so many flours. And the problem with gluten-free baking is no one gluten-free flour substitutes well for wheat flour. They all have properties that are good, but they all have properties that are not so great, like there's a graininess or they're a little bit too gummy. So what I finally hit upon is a mix. And what I did with my mix is I developed it as to have the same protein to starch ratio as wheat flour. And then I added a little bit of xanthan gum, which is something we call a gluten replacer. And that's something that adds the elements that gluten has. So gluten is a binder, it's a structure builder, and it also has elasticity, so you can kind of mold your dough. So the mix itself is something you mix up, and then you put in your pantry, and then you use it cup for cup in your recipes.
Oh, and some of the cakes that you have here, the cranberry cake, look just delicious. And I have to say the pictures that go along with your recipes, Jean, are just amazing. But you also offer, you know, king cake and trifle and steamed plum pudding, all gluten-free. Even pumpkin pie, apple cinnamon pie, and the pies and tarts. And one pie I wanted to talk to you about that really caught my eye, the chocolate sunflower butter pie. That is just looks like heaven on earth.
That is terrific. I developed that. One thing I did in my book is I tried to hit all of the major holidays. So I have recipes for Kwanzaa in addition to Hanukkah and Christmas. And my daughter is peanut allergic. So we have that other challenge in our family that we have to stay away from peanuts. And so I developed this pie to be like a chocolate peanut butter pie, except it's the sunflower butter stands in for the peanut butter. And sunflower butter, as you can imagine, is just a nut spread that's made with sunflower seeds. And it is dynamite. This pie is such a favorite. Whenever I make it, people can't get enough of it, and it is so good.
You talk a lot about sources for the ingredients for the gluten-free baking, but I have noticed in doing some gluten-free baking myself recently that it's really come to your local grocery store as well. It's gotten a little bit easier to do gluten-free baking.
I think so. Now, I live in Seattle, which is a large city, and also it's very aware of gluten intolerance. So we can get our flours just even at the normal grocery store. So I tell people to look at their grocery store or to check out things like, you know, a Whole Foods or a health food store type of thing. And if you can't find the flours, and what I did is I tried to make the flours in the book pretty easy to find. You can order them very easily online. You can order them direct from the people who make them, or you can even order them on Amazon, and they can come very quickly. So access to the ingredients shouldn't be a problem for anybody.
I also noticed just in the moment or so we have left that you include a lot of fried treats in your new cookbook, too.
I do. I do. One thing about the holidays, it turns out that, you know, over history, oil is very expensive, and so they saved things that needed to be cooked in oil for the holidays. And so many of our treats for the holidays are actually deep fried. So things like soufganiyat, which are the jelly donuts for Hanukkah, There's cannoli. It's an Italian tradition. There's struffoli, another Italian tradition. Rosettes, which are a Norwegian tradition. So there are many things that are actually deep fried, and those things are really good.
Well, goodbye gluten. Hello, holidays, right, Jean?
Definitely.
Jean Savage, the author of Gluten-Free Baking for the Holidays, 60 Recipes for Traditional Festive Treats. You can follow her on the road to deliciousness on our website, wvxu.org. We'll find a link to the book and more about Jean. And celebrate the holidays with some nice baked treats, especially gluten-free for those gluten-intolerant friends of yours. Well, thank you, Jean, for the education and the great recipes, too.
Oh, thank you so much. It was my pleasure.